Joshua chapter 20 is perhaps the chapter we're thinking about. I'm going to speak to you about the 6 days of refuge. Perhaps you've never thought about the 6 cities of refuge. Well, we have to do this morning when Joshua came into the land. There were many battles, many fights, but they were conquering the land. Before chapter 20, in those chapters which so often we're a bit hesitant to read about all the names and all the distribution of the lands between the tribes. In chapter 20, we read that amongst all the distribution of that land, amongst the tribes, there were to be 6 cities of refuge. This wasn't Joshua's idea. It wasn't Moses' idea. God appointed those 6 cities of refuge. So we're going to learn a bit about these 6 cities. Written scripture there. What it meant for the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. But of course, as Christians, we do not neglect the Old Testament today. Sadly, some do. We say there must be spiritual lessons, gospel lessons in the Old Testament scripture, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So there is much to learn from these 6 cities of refuge spiritually and in the light of the gospel as well. But the great thought as we started our service, the Lord, or the quote is, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. And that's a great thought, isn't it? And in fact, it appears many times in scripture. Some of you may know that wonderful verse in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, well quoted. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I love that. We'll never fall out of the refuge in case you do. Are the everlasting arms, we ask. And of course, look at this great. God is our strength, very present in time of. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 25, verse 4. The Lord is refuge. About the great storm of God's wrath that is coming. And in Hebrews, the writer says to the Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, about what they have done, the great salvation they're now experiencing. It says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before them. Now, of course, some of our great hymn writers have got this thought as well. The well-known hymn, How Firm a Foundation. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who to Jesus for refuge have fled. We're going to say, this is great. I'm the refuge. Run. Brings my helpless soul. On the great 18th century leader. He's called Everton. But Bedfordshire, one of those places you blink and you miss it. Very, very small place indeed. But he was a vicar before he was a Christian. And on his tombstone, he has his testimony. And on his testimony, he puts it like this. Born in February 1760. Of England State, 1730. Lived proudly on faith and works for salvation until 1754, admitted to Everton Vicarage, 1755. And then it's got these lovely words. Fled to Jesus, alone for refuge, 1756. It says, fell asleep in Christ, 1793. And John Berridge was mightily used of God. Directly he was born again. He was a great preacher of the word of God. So through these six cities, these cities of refuge, we are taught very much the storm, but this very much the way of salvation, how we can avoid great wrath. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Now we're going to say three things about these six cities. First of all, I'm going to tell you about the purpose of these six cities. Then I'm going to talk about the position of these six cities, well, which won't be very long. And then I'm going to talk about the picture that is found in these six cities. So here we go. Number one, the purpose of these six cities of refuge. Could go to one of these six cities of refuge. Now I've got to say straight away, who could not go to one of these six cities of refuge? Numbers 35, the Lord is speaking, and he says, the murderer shall surely be put to death. So these cities of refuge were not for the murderer. The murderer was to be put to death. Numbers 19, if we were to read on, we would have read quite clearly, the Lord says the punishment for a murderer is a life for a life. That's what the Lord said. That's how the people of Canaan, the people of God, might be. And it's worth reminding ourselves as Christians, I don't suppose this is. After the ark, given a commandment by God. Now remember, Noah is not merely representative of a nation, he's representative of the human race. And the Lord said, Genesis 9, verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Now we know that man is a fallen creature. We know man has lost that great creation that he once was when God created, but we are fallen into sin. But nevertheless, we still retain something of the image of God. And we want to say that human life is sacred because God has created man in his own image. Human life is sacred. And I think as Christians, we all agree. We live in terrible days. In Britain and in the rest of the world, we have murdered the baby that is in the womb. We have taken innocent life, all in the name of women's rights. Human life, God says, is sacred. The evolutionists wouldn't say that, but we as Christians say human life is sacred. We have kept the murderer in prison. The name of re-education. But according to that verse, what Noah was given, life for life. Human life cheaply in our nation. And we have forgotten that God is the author of all life. And it's a very important thing. The influence of evolution in education and in the media has taken away from men and women this great truth that man was created in the image of God and that human life is sacred. So these six cities of refuge were not for the person who had deliberately murdered another person. So who is and who are these cities of refuge for? Well, verse 3 of Joshua chapter 20 says this, that the slayer who kills any person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be refuge from the avenger of blood. Now, in that Deuteronomy reading, I was given an illustration of what that actually means. Two men walk into the wood to cut down some trees for some fire, or for some timber, to make something out of them. To go with their axes, they begin to chop it down. But tragically, the axe head comes off the shaft, the handle of the axe, and goes flying across in the air and hits his friend, his neighbor, on the head. There's blood, and there is a dead man on his hand. You know, it was a horrible, horrible accident. Now, the man has a brother. This is the illustration that Deuteronomy gives. When he hears about his brother being killed by the axe head, he is furious. He is angry. He doesn't wait to have an explanation to how it happened. But his heart, did you notice the little phrase? His heart is hot with anger. And he wants to take the law into his own hands. And the person who unintentionally, his axe head just flew off, he wants to go to that man and to take his life in revenge. All this brother's thinking is revenge, revenge, revenge. Now this poor man, his axe head came off the handle. How did he feel? What can he do? All he did was set out that day to chop down some trees. But now someone's out to murder him. Tragic, tragic situation. So he's innocent of murder. It's just a horrible, horrible accident. Now, there's a big lesson here. The very fact that the Lord appointed these cities of refuge is the wonderful truth that the Lord knows all about the human heart and what sin can do in the human heart. The anger is such a powerful sin, it can so overwhelm the heart and make a man do an unreasonable thing and to bring murder about. Because anger that started in his heart will result in murdering a person. Human nature. The power. We've got to be honest. I hope you're ready to be honest this morning. We know all about it, don't we? There have been times in our lives when anger has got the better of us. We have said things, we may have done things, which we regret But it all started when our hearts were hot with anger. Anger is a powerful sin. I don't know what your experience of driving on the roads these days, but you've all heard of road rage. We experience a lot of that around Dudley. You meet some crazy drivers who really get angry. I don't know if they know anything else that works on their car, but they certainly know their car. Road rage. Oh no. That's a domestic violence. Where does it anger in the heart? And in London, generally one week, someone is killed by knife crime. Revenge. Anger in the heart. The Lord knows all about our hearts. And there in that society of old, he wanted to make sure that anger didn't get the better of someone, so he appointed 6 cities of refuge so there might be a place of refuge in order that murder would not happen to an innocent, innocent person. Well, when this dear man realizes his brother, there he is, a dead man before him, pool of blood, but then he hears his brother's on his way with a knife. What does this dear man do? Well, he needs a place of refuge. And he's got to go and to one of those cities so he is safe and secure. So hopefully when this man's hot heart, his anger is quelled down, he will be a safe man. Well, that's the purpose of these 6 cities of refuge. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is the position of these 6 cities. Now, in chapter 20 of Joshua, verses 7 and 8, we have the names of those 6 cities, and I will explain where they are. Now, it begins with a place called Kadesh. Now, we're talking about actually in the land of Canaan, okay? We're going to go the other side in moments, and there are 3 cities. There is Kadesh, now that's right in the north of the land of Israel, Canaan. There is Shechem in the middle of the land, and there is Hebron, south of the land. Okay, that's actually in the land of Canaan. Now on the other side of the Jordan, you remember how there's 2.5 tribes on the other side of the Jordan, the land before they actually came to the land. Cities there. In the north, there is a place called Golan. You may have heard on the news of the Golan Heights. Well, we're talking about a city of refuge, okay? The Golan, all right? That's at the north. In the middle, there is a place called Ramoth, and in the south, Beza. So you can see those cities are distributed equally through the land, okay? So in the north, well, you've got a city of refuge. If you're in the middle of the land, you've got a city of refuge. And if you're in the middle, you've got a city of refuge. They have access to any of those cities, wherever they lived in the land. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 3, it did speak about having good roads. Did you notice that little phrase about the good roads? Well, in other words, these cities weren't placed in a very difficult place where people had to go through a forest or something. There was a good road, so they could run easily. And no doubt there were no signposts leading to these cities. And who could go to these cities? Well, chapter 20, Joshua, and verse 9, it says this. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them, that whoever killed any person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. So they were the positions of the 6 cities of refuge. We come to number 3, the picture that these 6 cities of refuge contain. Now it's interesting, isn't it? There's six. Those of you who know your Bible, six is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. If you've studied Revelation, you'll know that six is the number of man. So six is a very important number. Seven is the number of perfection. Well, man isn't perfect. Man is imperfect. He can never reach number seven because he's imperfect. Man is a sinner. And man needs a place of refuge. And of course, the picture is this. Man, who killed a person accidentally, had to run from the avenger of blood. There was a man full of wrath. He was out to get his man. But there's someone who has greater wrath than that man did, which we all need to run from and find a place of refuge to secure ourselves. So let's think of some pictures. This man, picture number one. This man started the day wanting to chop some wood, some trees, for firewood or for some timber. But now he is running from someone who wants to take vengeance. Now that's the picture. Application. It's a gospel application. What happens when a person hears the gospel? What happens when a person who knows something of God, the work, God, the Holy Spirit working in their lives, there comes a conviction that they are sinners. They've broken the law of God. And they've offended a God who is angry with sinners. And they realize that the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And they begin to realize that they are under the wrath of God and they need a place of refuge. They need to be saved. They need a place where they are secure from the very wrath of God. Of course, the great preacher Jonathan Edwards preached a famous sermon, which we all know, "In the Hands of an Angry God." I wonder how many churches would want Jonathan Edwards to preach these days. Well, I'm not sure about that, but it's an interesting thought, isn't it? We hear so much about the love of God, and rightly so. The wonder that there's a God who is angry with sinners, and yet he works in people that makes them alarmed to think they've offended God. And what are they going to do? John Bunyan was one such person. He was so fearful about sinning against a holy God, he thought the church tower was going to fall on top of him. He just lived in trepidation of the thought he'd sinned against this God. So what can this dear man do to escape the wrath of this man? What can a sinner do to escape the wrath of God? Well, try to be religious. Doesn't work. Turn up the music so we forget all about it. Watch the films which end happily ever after. They need a place of refuge. That man was running from the avenger of blood. We need to be saved from the wrath of Almighty God. That's the first picture. The second picture. Remember, it was the Lord who appointed those six cities of refuge. It wasn't Joshua's idea. The Lord himself appointed it. Of course, this is a great thought, isn't it? Who appointed the way of salvation? It was the Lord. There's no other name given amongst men whereby they must be saved. I did a Bible study a week ago on 1 Peter. Listen to this. What a statement this is. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about the precious blood of Christ. Oh, I'll read both verses. They're so wonderful. But we've been redeemed. with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now listen to this. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, there in the councils of eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ was appointed to be the Lamb, to be the sacrifice, to shed his blood, even before the world existed. It was all in God's plan. And then that lovely little phrase, but it's been manifested to you. What a blessing to be a Christian. It's been manifested to you. Think of all the thousands and millions of people in this world. The Christian can say, I understand the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lovely little hymn, I think it's in Gadsby's hymn book actually, it says this. This refuge for sinners, his love did ordain, in Jesus the Lamb from eternity slain. And if God the Spirit reveals this to you, take refuge in Jesus, though hell should pursue. Wow, what a tremendous truth it is. What can stop? What can satisfy the wrath of God? It is the offering that Jesus made on the cross as a propitiation for our sins, that we might indeed escape that wrath that is coming. Where were those cities of refuge? Answer, not very far away. Not very far away. Equally in the land. What a wonderful thing that is. All the man had to do is take the road and look and follow the signposts to the city of refuge. The Apostle Paul in Romans 10, he says, look, how can you hear the gospel? And he takes some verses from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 and 14. This is my paraphrase, he says. He says, look, to hear the gospel or to hear the word of God, do you have to go up there in space? Do you have to go across the sea to hear the word of God? Do you have to go down to the depths of the sea to hear the word of God? He says, no. He says, the word is near to you. It is the gospel we preach. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's wonderful, isn't it? I went to a meeting, not very far away, it was about a mile down the road. For some of you, you just went to a church, listened to something. You didn't have to go far, you didn't have to go on a pilgrimage. But in that one, whosoever you are, here is the man, he's running towards one of the cities of refuge. He begins to have one or two little doubts. Will I be welcome at the gate? Will I get through the gate? Will they take me away and the avenger of blood catch me? Will I get in to the city of refuge? Well, what it says, chapter 20 of Joshua, verse 9, it says, these were the cities upon all the children of Israel, and for the stranger among them, whoever kills any person accidentally might flee there and not die at the avenger of blood. Now, that's wonderful assurance, isn't it? Get into the city and you're safe. You're secure. The man who's chasing you can't do anything about it. Now that's what we talk about as Christian assurance. The Lord Jesus Christ says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one that comes to me, listen, I will not cast out. What a wonderful reception that is. The gates of salvation are always open. The great invitation of the gospel, come, is always there. Whoever, none are too bad. Some who think they're too good have to humble themselves. But there's an invitation for all, whatever nationality, whatever background, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Picture number 5. The man who arrives at the city and had gone through the gates, he was safe. He was safe. The avenger of blood could not touch him. He was saved. Jesus said this, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know the great hymn, John Newton. He says, with salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. He gets rid of the city of refuge. He goes up and looks down at the temple. And he smiles. He says, you can't get me. I'm safe. And oh, what a blessing it is to be a Christian. We are surrounded by the salvation that Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. We are safe and secure in him for all eternity. Trip we may stumble. The devil might have a real go at us. The world may want to shame us. But if we're in Christ, we are safe and secure forevermore. Picture number 6. Now the man could stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. So while the high priest was alive, the man was secure in the city. But when the high priest died, he was free to go home. And the avenger of blood couldn't touch him. Now there's a little double picture here. Why are we free from our sins? Because our great high priest offered himself up at Calvary's cross to set us free from our sins. Ah, but our great high priest not only set us free, but he is risen, he's ascended, gives the power of an endless for eternity to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. What a tremendous thought that is. And did you notice the names of those cities? Those 6 names have a meaning if you do a bit of research. They speak about the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. They speak something of his glorious person. Kadesh means holiness or holy. Oh, what a saviour Lord Jesus Christ. He could bear my every sin on the cross. He didn't become a sinner, like some teach. He remained the pure, perfect Son of God. He was a sin bearer. And he bore my sin. Shechem means shoulders. Remember the parable of the lost sheep? The Lord Jesus Christ uses it to explain the wonderful person he is as a good shepherd. They put the lost sheep on his shoulders and brought that lost sheep home. And the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, how he's brought us lost sheep home. Hebron means fellowship. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks of that wonderful union and communion we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Golan means manifest or manifested or revealed. And of course, God has revealed himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's revealed himself to us if we are Christians. Ramoth means exalted. The head crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. And Beza means a fortified place. The Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. And when that great day of judgment comes, and that day of wrath comes that will be poured out upon this world, the Christian will be in that place of refuge, will be safe from the storm that God will pour upon this world, because we are in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I must conclude, and I conclude with an illustration from the scriptures. There was a man by the name of Abner. He was the commander of King Saul's army. You can read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 2. He was being pursued by a man by the name of Azael, who belonged to David's army. Azael wanted to kill Abner. Abner said to Azael, as they was being chased by him, he said, look, stop pursuing me or I'll kill you. Well, Azael didn't stop pursuing Abner, so Abner killed Azael. Azael had a brother. His name was Joab. Joab hears of the death of his brother, and his anger, his heart becomes hot. He becomes an avenger of blood. I'm going to get revenge on that Abner. So one day, Joab arrives at the gates of Hebron. Remember, Hebron is one of the cities of refuge. Abner is just standing outside of Hebron. Joab goes up to Abner and stabs him. And Abner dies. When David, King David, hears about this, he says some amazing words. He says, die, Abner, to the fool. If only in the city, Hebron, the city of refuge, of the city of Hebron. He died from the fear of blood. Listen to this. If you're a Christian, you're outside of that place of refuge. And if you were to die, you would die in your sins. And you would have to endure the wrath of God forever and ever. But those of us who are in Christ, we are safe, secure, forever and ever. Can I ask you this morning as I conclude? Are you in Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Do you know that assurance that the Holy Spirit has worked within your soul? And you know that you belong to Christ, and you belong to Christ forever, and you can say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Let's pray. Our great and glorious God, we bow before thee. Lord, as we think about our own souls, please, that you might indeed be that place of refuge. We thank you, our Lord Jesus Christ, that on the cross you bore that storm of wrath which Christians rightly deserve, but you endured it in that short space of time because you truly are the Son of God. And we thank you, your blood was shed that we might be redeemed by that precious blood. But our hearts are overwhelmed just to think what a sacrifice it was for you to be a sin bearer on our behalf. We pray for any who perhaps do not know this great assurance. We pray that even on this your day, they might seek after the Lord and you might be found. Pray, Lord, please, for any who perhaps lack assurance. We pray that they might come to the great and precious promises of the Word of God and be blessed by them and hold them tight, and they might know that glad, glad sound that Jesus saves. He takes his people to glory because of all that he has accomplished on their behalf. Please hear our prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name.